At least 15 states have been in hot water recently with the Justice Department over how they treat delinquent children. Federal investigations have uncovered filthy conditions, inadequate schooling and health care, neglect, and outright abuse in juvenile lockups from California to Georgia. The problems have prompted many states to rethink their approach to juvenile justice. To examine this trend, we traveled to Baltimore, where the state of Maryland last month shut the doors of one of its most controversial facilities.
This is a prison, and for many of us, it was terribly important to see it closed because nothing good happened behind that fence.
Jim McComb is executive director of a Maryland advocacy group for families and youth. We're sitting in a car outside the front gate of the Charles Hickey School just outside Baltimore.
What you're looking at here, this sort of, for many of us, sort of tells the story in itself. You're looking at two 16-foot high fences that are about 12 foot apart, with razor ribbon at the bottom and razor ribbon at the top. And if you go to any of Maryland's adult prisons, you're not going to find, you know, anything more, you know, ominous than that.
But it was what was going on inside the Hickey School and another Maryland youth lockup, the Cheltenham Youth Facility, that captured the attention of the U.S. Justice Department. A 2004 report outlined a host of unconstitutional conditions, including, quote, a deeply disturbing degree of physical abuse by staff, some of whom were convicted felons themselves, an unacceptably high level of youth-on-youth violence, inappropriate sexual conduct between staff and youth, and a lack of mental health services and suicide precautions. The Justice Department sued to force Maryland to improve conditions at the facilities. The state settled out of court this year. There's long been a debate over whether this type of large cell block housing is the right response to juvenile crime. And now states are discovering it's not.
What we've decided here in Maryland is we're not going to house the kids on these large campuses. It does not produce results.
Stephen Moyer is Deputy Secretary of the Maryland Department of Juvenile Services. He admits the state's juvenile justice system failed and says officials are trying to fix it.
The smaller, the better, and that's where we're headed. I think everybody from a philosophical point of view took a look at this and looked at the research that was out there and said that, you know, you can't arrest your way out of this. There are youth out there who need services more than they need to be locked up behind a fence.
This new philosophy on how to treat juvenile offenders is welcome news to Sharon Romano, a nurse at the Greater Baltimore Medical Center. I went there to talk with her about her son, Andrew, who was sent to the Hickey School when he was 15 after making a bomb threat at school.
I'm glad that the school is closing. It was a terrible facility all the way around. I had too many bad experiences with that school.
Romano says her son was badly beaten there and couldn't get help from the guards.
There were no locks in any of the doors. And four boys had come in and assaulted him, and they beat him mostly about the head and the face. He got back in bed. They came in again, same four boys, and beat him up. And the supervisor came in soon after, and he was evidently kind of like semi-conscious on the floor in a pool of blood. And they just told him to get back in bed and don't say anything. Andrew lost a lot of himself and a lot of confidence in himself and came out with some very different ideas of life than before he got in the trouble that he got into.
Child advocates say conditions in facilities like Hickey have deteriorated over the years, in part because of who is locked up inside. Mostly minority kids who come from poor communities. Attorney Stacy Gurian-Sherman helps families navigate the juvenile justice system in Maryland.
I think it goes back to the fact that these are kids, they're youth, they don't have political power, and I think we've demonized them. And when you put those two together, you end up with a cultural problem of systemic abuse.
It's not just Maryland that's closing down youth lockups like Hickey. Last year, Louisiana closed its troubled Tallulah Correctional Facility for youth. In August, Connecticut announced plans to shut down a new $57 million juvenile training school after more than half of the kids who left the program ended up in trouble again within 6 months of their release. And Mississippi is in the process of decarceration, finding smaller community-based treatment programs for first-time offenders rather than incarceration. Like in Maryland, The reforms come on the heels of a U.S. Justice Department lawsuit over unconstitutional conditions at its youth facilities. In a 2003 interview with NPR, Althea Dixon described what it was like when she was housed at Mississippi's Columbia Training School for Girls.
Guards picking up people by their pants is making me grass, making me ants, make them run around fully suited, tires around their neck, 100-degree weather. I went to training school only for running away due to a situation I had at home. But by the time I got there, I was treated like I had just robbed a bank or killed somebody.
These brutal environments should be a wake-up call for policymakers, according to Mike Stewart, the longtime director of the Missouri Department of Youth Services, who is now a consultant to states trying to reform their juvenile justice systems.
I've seen some of these places you've talked about, and I've been to those programs in Alabama and Mississippi and Texas and Louisiana and Arizona and across. And yeah, it's you have to ask yourself the question, you know, how can it get to this point?
Stewart is credited with developing what is now nationally recognized as the Missouri model, a decentralized approach that puts kids in small, home-like settings with intense therapy. Stewart says that's the best way to reform delinquent youth, even those who have done really bad things.
When you lock them in a cell for 24 hours a day and then you're brutal with them and you don't get inside those kids, you're not doing anything except perpetuating the same thing they've had on the streets. So when these people say we want to make these facilities as tough as we can and these kids will never come back, they just don't know what they're talking about.
But that was the dominant way of thinking more than a decade ago as the nation grappled with a rise in juvenile crime. Phyllis Hildreth used to run a youth lockup in Baltimore. She says the turning point came in the early 90s.
The public imagination became captivated by thoughts of juveniles running wild, and terminologies such as predator crept into the conversation. As a result, we began to see federal legislation, state legislation, federal funding that drove states to begin to criminalize the actions of youth, to, in effect, cage them in larger, harsher, more secure facilities, and not really attend to the psychosocial developmental needs of children. We're paying that price now.
Brandon Conaway spent nearly a year locked in Maryland's juvenile system, at the Hickey School, and at the Drill Academy, a boot camp that was closed last year in an abuse scandal.
This knew something wasn't right. I mean, I was like, felt like I was being treated like an animal. And not even like an animal. Animals shouldn't have been treated like that.
What do you think happens to kids who are abused in a juvenile lockup? What happens to them when they go through that and have to come back out into the real world?
If something happened while you locked up and the law is supposed to help you, and you being abused by the law, it's like a scar. It's like you being scarred. A lot of people getting abused, I mean, would find, like, cry and things like that. But, I mean, there wasn't no need for me to cry because things weren't going to get no better.
Brandon Conaway was arrested for driving a stolen all-terrain vehicle and running from police. He's 19 years old now and was released from the Hickey School in August. He lives with his parents in Salisbury, Maryland, and is studying for his GED.